I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Rangers up and down this year. We know that already. It has been a very tough time and been disappointing for a lot of Ranger fans who assumed with Lafreniere coming and Kapo already here and Kreider and Panarin and Zibanejad that it would all be hunky-dory and they liked David Quinn and all of it was going to be, you know, a good year, a building year. And instead, it has been a very frustrating year. To talk about it, the Hall of Famer, Larry Brooks, into the Hockey Hall of Fame a few years back. And in the words of our old boss, Lou Lamoriello, hello, Larry.
Hello, Chris.
How have you been?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. It's good to talk to you always. Let's start with the Panarin thing, which you've chased down. And, of course, I mentioned earlier in the show that you know, you and I were there when Fetisov and Kasatanov came in, and it was, you know, quite newsworthy and quite a big deal. And there was always mystery around Russia. I think for all Americans, hockey fans or not, there's mystery around Russia, how they do their business, how politics works there, what kind of freedom the people have there, what happens to people who are publicly critical of government, etc. But this thing seems deeper than that, and I don't envy you trying to separate the wheat from the chaff in this story. How comfortable are you with knowing what's going on with Panarin?
I think I'm comfortable with what I know. I acknowledge there may be a fair amount that I don't know. And I think everyone has to allow for the fact that we don't know what we don't know. On the face of it, it appears to me, and this is after I've talked to numerous people here and in the KHL in Russia from North America who have asked not to be named, I think for obvious reasons, it seems to me that Andrei Nazarov, who was the coach of Panarin back in 2011-12 and apparently didn't have a real good relationship with him at the end, made these charges against him. And we know that Panarin has been outspoken in his opposition to Vladimir Putin. And we know that Nazarov is a major Putin person. And my intelligence, and that's not to say my smarts, that's to say my intelligence.
Your intelligentsia.
Right. As, you know, sources have indicated that they believe that Nazarov is attempting to curry favor with the people high up in the KHL structure and in the Russian national program who owe their allegiance to Putin, and he's trying to curry favor with them. He's looking for a coaching job with the national team or maybe to get back in with the KHL. And so he has levied these accusations against Panarin that are wholly unsupported, not one of which has been corroborated, that Panarin brutally punched down an 18-year-old woman back in 2011 when Panarin would have been 20 years old, and that the incident was covered up. There were bribes being paid to the police, and there was a police report that was erased. But there's no evidence of this, and it seems to me just to be a hit job. And what's unsettling about it is that it has had such an impact on Panarin that he felt it necessary to take a leave of absence from the Rangers, and it's now reached a week. He's missed three games, and as he attempts to take care of his personal affairs, and that's a missing piece too. We don't know exactly why Panarin stepped away, but as I wrote today, I think you need to give him the benefit of the doubt, because there's just so much we don't know about how things operate in Russia. He is being vilified in his homeland. We don't know what the ramifications are for him, for his family, for his wife's family.
I think that's where there. I think we can all relate to that fear for, you know, he's fine. He knows where he is, and he knows the routine in America and around the hockey team, and he has support. But he can't be there for them while he's an
right.
NHL player. So you could understand
right.
his
right.
trepidation with what might be going on over there, or might not be, for all we know.
Right, and might not be. That's true. And I'm sure Panarin has as many contacts in Russia, and I'm sure he's keeping up with them. And his leave of absence right now is open ended. We don't know when he's coming back. I expect him to come back. I would think so. I would expect so. So there is a lot we don't know about this, but what we do know is that none of the allegations have been supported by any witnesses. They've been, in fact, rejected by people who were on the scene. So this does seem to be a lone wolf attempt at taking down Panarin for political reasons, and perhaps to send a message to anyone else who is inclined to speak out against Vladimir Putin. But again, I certainly don't present myself as an expert on international affairs and Russian internal affairs, but that's certainly the way it seems from here.
All right, let's get to the Rangers in general, because the audience cares, and they are disappointed, and they want to know why it isn't working. My first question would be, do you believe the Rangers have an identity as a team right now?
No, they want to play real fast. They want to play a real talent-oriented game, but in order to do that, they need their best players playing up to their best. And they need to become a harder team to play against. They certainly need to strengthen themselves down the middle. They need to have more players who will win one-on-one battles. So this process of rebuilding, while they have a lot of promising pieces, and people should be excited about them, the whole right now does not equal the sum of the parts. And I'm not sure what it's going to look like in another year or so. I don't know. I'm not sure if Jeff Gorton knows. Again, there are a lot of good pieces here, a lot of young, real good pieces, and a lot of young pieces that are in the pipeline that haven't made it here yet. So overall, I do think the future is promising, but they need to address the situation down the middle. And they need just to become a more abrasive team, a team that is going to win the 50-50s, a team that is going to be able to gain traction from one game to the next. One of their issues this year, though, and honestly, it's maybe the most critical issue facing them this year that explains why they've won 7 out of 19 games, is the absolute disappearance of Mika Zibanejad. And it is as mysterious as anything I've encountered. This was a player who was an elite player last year. And even if you want to discount his stats as somewhat wonky, because everything he shot the last month of the season went in, he scored 23
right.
goals the last 22 games.
He had 26% shooting, I think I read from you. Yeah,
percent.
Yeah, yeah. I read
yeah, I mean, I know that because I've written it so often the last
yeah.
month. But
yeah.
but. Even if you want to, Zibanejad scored 41 goals in 57 games last year. Nobody thinks that Mika Zibanejad is a 60-goal scorer. Nobody looks at him as a 60-goal scorer or a 50-goal scorer or maybe even a 40-goal scorer. But from year to year to year, since the Rangers acquired him in 2016, he made both steady and dramatic steps, where he was a pretty good player. Then he was a good player, then he was a very good player, and last year he was an outstanding player. So even if there was going to be a regression in his stats, there really was no reason to expect a regression in his play. Okay, so we had the COVID summer. You have to give some allowances to that, I guess. We know that he did have COVID right before training camp, and he missed the first week of camp. He has insisted all along that there have been no after effects from COVID. And at some point you have to believe,
right.
you know, the first couple of weeks you want to say, well, maybe, and maybe, you know, he doesn't want to say because he doesn't want to make it seem like he's making an excuse. But we're now 7 weeks out from it. And if the Rangers have run one test after another on him, you know, just to ascertain whether he is physically okay, whether he is suffering from after effects of COVID. And as far as I know, they have found nothing. So what is the explanation for this season for Mika Zibanejad? I don't know what there is. And it is as mysterious a drop-off for a player who should be pretty close to his prime. I mean, he's, what, 27 years old? And he has not scored a 5-on-5 goal this season. He has two goals. He has a power play goal and an empty net goal. He has 2 5-on-5 points this year. He has 2 assists at even strength. And, you know, I don't care whether you're a young team like the Rangers or a solid team like Washington. It is extraordinarily difficult to win if one of your top two players is invisible. And that's what he's been. So in addition to the Rangers being a young team, in addition to the Rangers having questions down the middle to begin with, in addition to the Rangers not being deep on defense, in addition to the Rangers now needing to fill the hole created by the expulsion of Tony DeAngelo, in addition to all of that, they're dealing with the fact that their second-best player last year and one of the best players in the league last year has given them nothing through the first 19 games of the season. And I'm not sure, you know, that any team can overcome that. It's very difficult. You know, in addition to everything else, they're trying to deal with this. And you know, I know there are a lot of criticisms of David Quinn, but this is one you cannot put on David Quinn. This is not on the coach.
No, so
that's certainly something they deal with every day. And every time Zibanejad has a good game, there is so much hope that, okay, now he's found it. Now he's found it. He had a pretty good game Wednesday night in Philly. He actually had an excellent game Wednesday night in Philly. And then Friday night against the Bruins, he had an okay game. Today, you know, it was back to 2 weeks ago. So
yeah, that's just
an obstacle the Rangers face every game, and I'm not sure quite what they do about it.
Did the Ranger fan expect too much too quickly from Kako and Lafreniere, or have you been less impressed than you expected to be with their offensive prowess in their brief
time? Well, I like
time.
Lafreniere's game. I mean, I think just about every time you watch Lafreniere, you can see why he was the overwhelming number one consensus selection. Kako last year, I think there was probably a little bit too much hype on him. I think that the transition from the big rink to the small rink really wasn't taken into account. And I do think after watching these two guys, Kako last year and Lafreniere this year, I think it reinforces the fact that unless maybe you're Connor McDavid or Austin Matthews, playing in the NHL at the age of 18 or 19 is extraordinarily difficult. And that's what I take from this. I don't look at these two guys and see them being misused. Lafreniere has gotten a lot of top six time this year. And then it's interesting. They played him on the top six through a majority of their first 12, 15, 16 games, whatever it was. And he wasn't producing. He was around the puck a lot. He had a couple of games where he dropped off. He wasn't producing. And so they moved him to the third line so he could get away from some of the tougher matchups. And then, of course, as soon as he was on the third line, you heard the outcry. Well, he's not getting enough time. He's not getting enough time. Not everybody can play in the top six. And one of the issues for the Rangers is that when Philip Hedel went down with an injury, I think in the fifth game of the season, actually, that their depth down the middle is pretty non-existent. So they had to. So Brett Howden moved up to the third line. Howden can be a physical player. He's a good penalty killer, but he's not a center who is going to make his wingers better. He doesn't have great vision. He doesn't move the puck that well. He's not going to open things up for his wingers. And so when Lafreniere was on the third line, he was playing with Howden. Didn't get many opportunities. Now with Panarin taking the lead, Lafreniere has moved back into the top six. He's been, you know, better here and there. But I think it's a growth process. I really do. And I think this reinforces how difficult it is for teenagers to play in this league and how we are all guilty of overhyping the top picks in the entry draft.
Yeah.
All of us. Because seriously, Jack Hughes had a real good first games this year.
Yes, yes.
But Jack Hughes suddenly is not making the dynamic impact that he was the first couple of weeks of the season. You know, it's nothing I would support because I don't believe it would be legal. But, you know, it would probably be to everyone's benefit if no draft pick played in the league until at least his second year following the draft. Because
right.
At 18 and 19, it is extraordinarily difficult. And I think that's what I take away from watching Kako and Lafreniere play.
Somebody called, and I told them that I would pass along the question to you. Would you trade, if a trade had to include Lafreniere to bring back Jack Eichel, would you do it?
No, I wouldn't want to do that, no.
Okay.
I would not want to do that.
Fair enough. What grade would you give Chris Kreider?
For this season, I give, Chris had 5 goals in his last 3 games until today where he had actually just a brutal game this afternoon. All their top guys had just awful games this afternoon against Boston. Boston's top guys just dominated. I mean, you know, I'm not a slave to analytics. I think analytics are a very, very useful and educational tool in conjunction with other tools, one of which is, watching the games. But today, I think Kreider's attempts for and against when he was on the ice, I believe, was 1 attempt for and either 14 or 16 against.
Wow!
And it ran right through. I mean, Adam Fox, when they were on against the Bergeron line, they never had the puck. They never had the puck. And so what would I give Kreider for the season? C+, B-.
Yeah, that's what I
expected. I think he's had some very strong games. I think he's been a very good spokesman for the team. But I think the level of consistency that the Rangers need from him has been absent. And
given that this youth, Chris,
he's got 8 goals in 19 games, right?
Right, right.
So he's on essentially a 35 goal pace or whatever that would be over 82 games.
Yes.
But, and that's generally what he does. I mean, he scores in streaks. He is impressive in streaks, but he still has too many games where he's no factor at all. And so, maybe I'm a little bit of a hard marker, but that's what I would give him for the year.
And I think they need more from him because of the youth you just talked about, because Lafreniere and Kako aren't there yet, and therefore you ask for more out of guys you know can give it, and he's one of the guys that they know can give it. Let's close with your overall thought about the David Quinn era and how he stands. I know the fans, I think for the most part he's been treated very patiently by the fans. I think the fans are generally have been in David Quinn's corner.
Well, you don't get the same emails.
No, I know, and that's exactly right, because your passion and your knowledge is much greater than mine, so they don't come to me with their complaints. But the record always catches up with a coach after a while, and the more high picks you have and the more heralded picks you have, the more likely that's going to come sooner rather than later. What are your thoughts about his solid, staying at the top there? I guess, is he on any sort of hot seat in your mind, or are they very satisfied with how he runs his dressing room?
I do not think he is on a hot seat. I think he has complete support from management, from John Davidson on down. You know, while much of you know, Rangerstown and many of the writers were amping this team up a little bit, and John Davidson was consistently trying to turn the temperature down a little bit.
Right.
And, you know, JD has been through rebuilds in St. Louis and Columbus, and we all know that when you're rebuilding, it's not, you know, the trajectory isn't linear. You know, it doesn't always go up. It's one step forward, two steps back, two forward, one back, another one forward, two back. And I don't think there was ever, well, I'm sure, there was never a make the playoffs or you're out mandate for David Quinn this year. I think they wanted to see young players progress. And I think to a certain extent they have. I mean, it's easy to look at Lafreniere's totals and say, well, you know, David Quinn. It's easy to look at Kakko's totals and say, well, David Quinn. But, and again, he only played five games before he was injured. But Filip Hedl was their best center in those five games. And Filip Hedl was a player who has developed year three under David Quinn. And so Hedl is a player who has progressed under Quinn, a young player who was a first rounder who has progressed under Quinn. Ryan Lindgren has progressed under Quinn. Adam Fox is a big time player playing for Quinn. And, you know, when you make these arguments, the opposite view as well, Adam Fox arrived at a as a ready-made player. But that's not true. is that what you would say if Lafreniere had, you know, had nine goals? Well, Lafreniere arrived as a ready-made player. So, you know, the coach now is being, the coach is taking all of the criticism when guys don't progress as the outside world believes they should, but he gets none of the credit when the young guys do play well. So, but I think that's, you know, I think that's from outside the organization. I think from inside the organization, Quinn is solidly entrenched. I think after the year, you know, you evaluate what happens. You know, they played 19 games, and so what? There are 47 to go. 47 to go. No, 37 to go. Right.
37. Yes.
56.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
37 to go. And so I think at the end of 56 games, then you evaluate just the way you evaluate your players and you evaluate your coach. But I think that no one is going to blame David Quinn for Mika Zibanejad. No one. No one is going to blame David Quinn for Panarin having to miss this amount of time. No one is going to blame David Quinn for their lack of depth on defense that has been exposed again with the D'Angelo situation, you know, and the Trouba being out. So
right.
I think there's going to be a very realistic look at David Quinn at the end of the season, but I certainly don't put their issues this year on him. I think there are a couple of games where it looks like they haven't been prepared to play. And that always falls on the coach. However, there have also been games where they have rebounded and you know, been exceptional after bad games. And so you have to give some of that credit to the coach, too, for getting them ready. So I think they're probably where they should be.
What are your emailers and texters telling you about the goaltending? What?
There's been very little about
the Larry
recently.
What the hell is he doing? How come Shesterkin's not playing every night?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of that. And, you know, obviously he's not going to play every night.
Right.
You know, Georgiev had a couple of really, really, you know, two in a row strong games. I think there's no question that Shesterkin's the number one. He had a slow start. He's been much, much better since about the second week of the year. He's been, I think, what they expect him to be. I don't, you know, their goaltending early was an issue. Their goaltending hasn't been an issue lately.
Hey, good conversation as always. We appreciate it, Brooksy. Always good to talk to you, and we'll do it again as the season rolls on. And if you run into Gorbachev, say hi for me.
We'll do.
Larry Brooks of the Post joining us. That's an old joke from the old days with my boy Brooksy.
Give me the cough button.
Yeah, I know. You did fine, and I did fine. Yeah. I'm old now. You know, I can do things that I get. And you're already in the Hall of Fame, so you pretty much can do whatever you want as well.
That's true.
It's a pretty good situation to be in. Thanks, Brooksy. Appreciate it.
All right, man.
Larry Brooks of the Post. Obviously, you read him there, NYP Brooksy on Twitter.